Let's continue in the vein of our discourse. I want you to take the document that you had, and if you don't have one, raise your hands and ushers will make sure you get one. What influence does the actualization of salvation in eternity exert on the eternal doctrines of grace? Now, for those who may be listening to this by way of audio, if you go to our website, that is www.gracegospelministry.com or .org, you will and go into the audio section. There is conveniently a link there which you can link, and you can be linked to this document, and you'll be able to follow along as we minister and discourse this glorious truth of the actualization of salvation in eternity and what it exerts on the eternal doctrines of grace. Also, from that document, you will be able to link to another document, the sovereignty of God in election doctrines. The sovereignty of God in election doctrines, which the majority of Christendom today are neglecting to preach this. But, oh my God, in the world that we live in, it has so much confusion and so much heartaches and troubles. Amen. To really understand the eternal workings of God places all of that into perspective.
Right.
And no matter what's going on in your life, you're always happy. Amen. If you know and understand this, it will make you happy.
Right.
Not only make you happy, this will keep you happy. Amen. Oh, my God. We had moved to the second page of the document, What Influence Does the Actualization of Salvation? Under this section, is mankind spiritually dead or alive? In other words, we're going to talk about total depravity. Is mankind spiritually dead or alive? Also, again, we're going to go back and reiterate from the eternal view the sovereignty of God. So you're going to need this other document, the sovereignty of God in election doctrines. You're going to need that document. We're going to deal with that. And then on page 2 of that, we deal with the total depravity of man. And probably take us 2 outings to get through this. And so this is probably going to take a little longer than I had previously stated. Of course, we're not in any hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We don't. There's no clock on us.
All right.
Say we've got to cover this or that or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. No use to going to page 2 if you don't understand page 1.
Wow. All right.
All right. So we're going to get this straight, and we've got to get this straight.
Mm-hmm.
This is life. This is about life. Mm-hmm. Also, I want you to take your Bibles. And turn to 2 Timothy 2 and 19. Remember, we had started there last week. We're going to finish that up. And some other scriptures we're going to peruse. We won't really get into the actual of it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Colossians 2 and 10 that speak of the fact that we are complete in Him. Amen. Which shows the glorious power of God to make such a statement concerning those who are totally depraved, that they are also complete in Him. Also, First Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, And we had gone through this in the Bible study. We're going to go through this again so that we'll understand what the conveyance really is. Also, Paul writes to the Corinthians in the 19th verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and as he speaks to them, we will see what he's talking about. And he says that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have with God, and see how that connects to the fact of what he is saying concerning our bodies. Is it our bodies that he's talking about? Is it speaking about the body of Christ, of which we are a component of? Mm-hmm. So we shall look at all of these things. Also, we shall look at Matthew and see and exegete it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 and 18, because some have taken that and become fruit inspectors. So we need to know what Jesus was really saying there. And of course, he said, you can judge a fruit by a tree by the fruit that it bears. And of course, amen, when you look at the human nature, there's only one thing that the human body can't, the flesh can produce, and that's depravity.
Right.
And that's what Jesus was saying. Mm-hmm. When we exegete this, we will see that this is exactly what he was saying. Amen. And so, what is the importance of all of this? All of this is that we put things in perspective. We put life in perspective. Now we're living with a clear-cut understanding of the things that are around us to cut down some of the frustration and the doubts and the fears and just everything that just makes us so confused. Mm-hmm. As we clear away the confusion,
yes.
Amen, we're able to clear away the confusion, and then life takes on a better perspective, amen. And so this is what, in this ministry, we're seeking to do. We're seeking to align everything in the proper perspective, the proper view, which is the eternal view, the way God sees it. Amen. And you don't see God frustrated, do you?
Mm-mm.
Huh? All of this mess that's going on, God's not. They say God is. God's not frustrated.
Mm-mm.
Huh?
Mm-mm. No.
No. No. God's not frustrated. Mm-mm. Amen. He knows because it's what is to be manifested is what he has decreed.
Right.
And believe me, at the appointed time. Mm-hmm. It will be manifested that all of this is already cleared up.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
You all don't hear me.
That's so true.
It's already cleared up.
Already cleared
this,
up.
This human body that gives you so much trouble, you won't have to be bothered with it anymore. No more aches and pains and arthritis and amen. Oh, my God, huh? Mm-hmm. Everything else that's going around, diverticula. Losis and just go down the list, naming the ailments of this body, and then the trouble that the body gives us in the spirit as well as our thoughts, and amen, the unhappiness in the world, that's all of that's temporary.
Right.
Can you say temporary?
Temporary.
Amen.
Right.
And so this is why we stop to teach in the vein of God having decreed all things and actualized them. Amen. And this is why Paul, the Apostle Paul, You never saw the Apostle Paul, amen, from the time that the Lord took him up in the third heaven. Yeah. You never saw the Apostle Paul frustrated about what was going on around him.
No, you didn't.
Amen. Huh? He's in prison, and he's saying, oh, I'm happy that this gospel is being preached. He's not saying that you all do something, get together, get me out of here. You don't hear that, do you? Huh? My Lord, hallelujah. And I'm sure it wasn't pleasant in the prison. It was probably worse in those days than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
What we're saying here is that, yeah, we desire to live in peace and have happiness, and all of these things are certainly noble. And this is not what we're saying. Don't misunderstand what we're saying. Amen. But you got to deal with what's actually happening.
All right.
Amen. And some of it's not pretty.
Right?
Some of it's not comfortable.
Right.
But all touching life, when you put it in perspective, can be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to take it and put it all to the proper view and perspective. All right, Deacon Gavin is our designated read, Brother Deacon.
Uh-huh.
Let's go back to where we were last week in Timothy. Let's start out there, Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Everybody turn to that. And read from the King James. I just want you to start with 17, 18, and 19. And we had exegeted the first part of that verse in 19. We shall now move to the very last phrase as we move into what God has given us this morning.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everyone has 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Deacon Reed. Start at 17.
All right. 2 Timothy 2, 17 from the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Now, what Paul here is conveying to and speaking to, and the issue he's speaking to, that in verses 17 and 18, you had two of the ministers that were preaching and that the resurrection had passed.
Right.
And because of this, as it is stated in verse 18, Deacon, why don't you read that from the, everybody take out your Greek interlineals and read from that. Verse 18.
Verse 2 Timothy 2:18 Greek interlineal text.
Mm-hmm.
Who concerning the truth missed aim?
They missed aim, and they should have been aiming at the truth.
Right.
But they missed it.
Yes.
All right.
Saying the resurrection already to have become.
Mm-hmm.
And overturn the of some faith.
And so some faith was shattered. Because if somebody comes along and tell you that the rapture has occurred,
uh-huh,
and you're still here in these, amen, depraved, vile bodies, the only conclusion that you could come to is what? You got left behind. that wouldn't be good news, would it?
No.
That would be terrible.
Right.
That would be. I can't think of anything else. I can't think of any news that could be worse than that.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Oh my Lord, that I miss you. Miss the rapture. The church is gone, which means that you're not a part of it. Oh my God. In verse 19, read that.
2 Timothy 2:19 Greek interlineal text.
Mm-hmm.
The, however, firm foundation of God stands.
The foundation of God stands and having stood, and the foundation of God has to be traced back to God's decree
right.
in eternity.
Right.
It has stood, and it's standing. The firm foundation of God, amen, having had stood. Here you have the, oh my God, the perfect tense. And here, keep reading.
Having sealed this.
Having this seal, or having this indicio.
Knew the Lord. The ones being of him.
The Lord, it didn't say no.
No.
It, the Lord from the beginning what?
Knew. That's right.
Knew. Mm-hmm. Knew. Mm-hmm. Knew.
Jesus.
Knew. A past completed
right.
act.
Right.
If he knew you, when did he know you?
Mm-hmm.
He knew me in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even in the Old Testament.
That's right. Man.
David.
Man.
An adulterer and a murderer in one instance
right.
could have the testimony
mm-hmm.
that he knew me
mm-hmm.
before I was formed
mm-hmm.
in the womb of my mother's belly. So, it is not the enactments in time, even though, again, I'm going to always stop and say this, because somebody around here and somebody that hear, that's hearing this will say, well, hey, they're preaching over there. You can just do whatever you want to. Now, Paul dealt with that, too. Amen. No, this is not given. You don't need this information to go out and do whatever the preacher wants to do. The preacher doesn't need an excuse to be depraved.
No.
That's what it is anyway.
Right. Amen.
But we have this understanding for the sake of confidence.
Come on, Pastor. That's right.
I'm knowing that from the beginning,
right.
you always belong to him, even before you were ever encapsulated in these vile bodies.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So he knew. So what Paul is saying this to them, he said, God knows you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about him. I know the old song that they used to sing, you know, one was very popular. He said, remember me, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Said, then somebody would come in, and I think it's the caravan, don't forget about me, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We can sing. She said, which gives the emphasis that
right.
you got to remind the Lord, and hey, you're
right.
over here.
No.
And we live like this. We get in trouble. We say, hey, Lord,
yeah.
are you there?
Yeah.
Remember me.
Yeah.
Lord, don't forget me down here.
Yeah, we do.
Amen. But basically, what gives us this uncertainty and unsurety
all right.
is that we think
okay, come on.
That our place in God
yeah.
is based upon our performance.
Right.
Thank God
Hallelujah.
That our place in him
Hallelujah.
Is not determined by our performance.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Even though conduct is so very important,
mm-hmm.
that is not the basis upon which God, amen, has accepted you.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Jacob and Esau.
Right.
Before either of them were even born, when you look at Romans, it's Paul there, it's discourse in the election.
Mm-hmm.
Before either of them were born,
mm-hmm.
and had a chance to do good or bad,
mm-hmm.
God knew, or God chose,
mm-hmm.
God elected,
mm-hmm.
God loved
mm-hmm.
one,
mm-hmm.
namely Jacob,
mm-hmm.
and hated Esau.
Right.
So the determination of whether you are his or not his mm-hmm. has nothing to do with your performance.
Amen. Amen. Yes, indeed. Yes.
Now, so who you are is not determined by what you do, mm-hmm. except as you learn who you are,
mm-hmm.
it should influence what you do.
Amen.
And if you internalize this, it's going to do something to... Amen, huh? So what Paul was saying to them is, don't look at yourselves. The Lord knows you. He knew you. Not only knows you, he knew and he knows because he knew.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Read that last phrase.
And let stand away from iniquity everyone naming the name of the Lord.
Here, oh my God, I wish I had the time. We have a verb here. Apostito. It is rendered depart here, says stand away. That let really, you know, they mm-hmm. that doesn't go there. Any word, anytime you say let, means that you have some control or some influence
right.
over something. You
right.
say let it be or let it happen, which right. means that. But see here, that is a verb. It is an imperative mood, so it is definitely a command.
Command.
But it is in the aorist tense, which speaks of that which has been determinedly, amen, decreed by God, which is based upon the fact, and this is God's process, as we receive this information, it becomes apparent that God's purpose for us receiving it is to turn away, not turn to. Mm-hmm. This knowledge is not given to us to turn to. Mm-hmm. This knowledge is given to us to turn away, to leave, depart, go away from, go in the opposite direction. From what? Iniquity. So, this is God's process. He's given us all of this great information to enrich our lives. The first thing that needs to be done is for us to have a know-so salvation.
Amen.
And to know what our standing is in God.
Right. Right.
And we don't get confused by the fact of our performance or our non-performance. Another verse, right quickly, go to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. We're going to move around a little bit this morning, amen, trying to align these scriptures together, amen, so that we'll have some understanding of what the conveyance is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Brother Deacon, let's do like we did in Bible study Friday night. Let's go back to verse 1.
All right.
I want you to read verses 1 through 4. Everybody that has 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and let's go to verse 1, say amen. All right, now somebody, this is almost like a Bible study. Well, amen, what we've got to do is we want to get the information right.
Right.
What mode of methodology is all about teaching. So I have no trepidations or problems, amen, that we're moving in a didactic format. All right? But Deacon, read from the King James, and then we'll go to the Greek.
All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father.
Verse 4.
Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God.
Now, let's look at verse 3, verse 2 first of all. You notice, and let's read from the Greek now. Start at verse 2. As he writes to the church at Thessalonica.
1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, Greek interlinear text. We give thanks to God.
We give thanks to God.
Always.
Always.
Concerning all of you.
Mm-hmm.
Mention making on the prayers of us.
Uh-huh.
Unceasingly remembering of you the work.
Remembering of, what?
Remembering.
The work.
Work.
Of faith.
Of faith.
Everybody said work of faith.
Work of faith.
And what else?
And the labor of love.
Everybody, it's the labor of love.
Labor of love.
And
the endurance of hope.
Everybody said the endurance of hope. Now, even in King James, I want you to go or whatever translation you might have there. I want you to, and thank God we don't have to deal with the grammar here to get this straight because they're all on the same page here. Circle work of faith, then circle labor of love, and lastly circle patience of hope. Now we have genitives here. We have work that belongs to faith, labor that belongs to love, and patience that belongs to hope. Now we don't have time to go through all of these, and there are scriptures in the Bible study Friday. We went through these. I'm sure we're not going to have time to do that today. Amen. But as we look at these, we were able to glean that in verse 2, Paul said, I thank God for you.
Right.
And even as you see him mentioned in faithful servants throughout his epistles,
right,
each time he is always giving God the praise for that individual.
That's right.
And then as I take this down and I internalize this, what it is saying is that he's giving the praise, he's acknowledging that they are doing it, but he's giving God the credit for them doing it. In other words, he's aware that those that he is acknowledging are depraved creatures. And because they're the depraved creatures, they could be doing something else. In fact, they could be doing the opposite. So the only conclusion that he can draw from this is that this is what God is working in them. I've got to stop. Let me take a little sidebar here. I've got to go. Right. Let's go to Philippians. Where will we be Friday night?
All right.
Amen. As we were dealing with who is working these marvelous works in these Thessalonians. Because remember now, the only thing God's got to work with in any of us is depravity. My flesh is depraved. Your flesh is depraved. And Paul was not being paradoxical when he said, I know that within my flesh there ain't nothing good.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. So if he's saying that in our flesh there's nothing good, then how are these good things coming out?
Yes.
You all got that?
Yes.
Call that scripture.
We're reading from Philippians chapter 2, the 13th verse.
Give them a chance to get to it. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. This is a sidebar, as they say in the courts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Read.
I'll
start with the King James.
All right.
But first of all, everybody got to say amen. All right.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, King James.
Mm-hmm.
For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
All right. Let's go to the Greek.
Greek interlinear text, Philippians 2, 13.
Mm-hmm.
God, for is the one operating
God
in you.
God is the one energizing, operating.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Here you have the Greek verb energon in the present tense. God is the one operating.
Right.
You are the one responding, but you are responding to the operation of God.
Right. Right.
So God is the one operating.
Mm-hmm. In you.
Uh-huh.
Both the to will and the to operate on behalf.
The will. The will.
Mm-hmm.
Not your will. God, oh, y'all don't hear me this morning.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
God is not operating your will.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
If he was operating your will, the only thing that would be coming out manifestation-wise is depravity, depraved actions. Of which we see on the news every day. I mean, you can't turn on the news about somebody that shot someone, cut somebody.
Yeah.
One lady got mad at another lady because she was going with her boyfriend, and they were skydivers, and she cut her ripcord, and she fell 13,000 feet to her death. And somebody said, "Woo!" The same thing that's in her is in you and in me.
Man.
Except God has overruled it. God is overruling. God is not about to allow you to do that. If he would, you would.
Right. Right.
I know it's hard for some. I said, I wouldn't do that. But you should be said, like J.L. Moody, he saw old drunk. He said, except for the grace of God, that's me. That's why the scripture said, put no confidence in the flesh.
Right.
Give no occasion to the flesh.
Occasion,
don't walk in the flesh.
Amen.
Run away from the flesh.
Amen.
In other words, don't trust your flesh.
Amen.
Because Paul wasn't talking about his flesh when he was Saul.
Oh, no.
He was talking about his flesh as Paul. He said, there's nothing good in my flesh.
Right.
That seems so strange to some folk, but oh my God.
Hmm? Amen.
So he said, what now?
It is God, for he is the one operating in you, the to will, and the to operate, on behalf of the goodwill or his goodwill.
Because of goodwill. Now, It doesn't say he is there. They put that there, but I can agree with that, because when you say good, you're talking about God.
Right.
Amen.
If you're saying good will, you're talking about God's will. Any will other than God, you cannot call it good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go back. And I know we're jumping around a little bit this morning. We're trying to. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. In the back to where we were in Thessalonians, you are complete in him. That is 2 Timothy, I'm sorry. Let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from evil, the King James say, basically those who are naming the name of Christ, and the only reason you are naming the name of Christ is that God has, the Holy Spirit has given you the enlightenment that you belong to him. So you're being called to name the name of Christ. So if you're manifestly naming the name of Christ, then the appeal here is that you must depart from iniquity. Are those that are naming the name of Christ, the command of grace is to depart from iniquity. Not so that you don't be left behind. But what goes along with naming the name of Christ is departing from iniquity. There's no threat here. That's the difference between the grace covenant and the Mosaic covenant.
Oh my God.
You go to Deuteronomy chapter 2 and 8, and you're in the Mosaic covenant, you're in the law, and they say, if you do good, I'll bless you. But if you do bad, I'm going to curse you.
That's right.
That's not. They've taken that, and this is why you got to divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants.
Right.
If you don't divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, it would be a most confusing document.
Amen.
There's nothing more confusing than meshing all the dispensational teachings together. That's the most confusing thing you could ever do.
Mm-hmm.
This is the grace covenant.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, indeed. Thank God.
And it is a command that is concomitant with naming the name of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But just like you of yourself cannot name the name of Christ, you of yourself cannot depart from iniquity.
Amen. Amen.
How is it done? We just got through reading in the Philippians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God operating in you.
In you. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
See?
Amen.
You see how we are totally, absolutely dependent upon God.
Right. Amen.
In every way.
Every way.
In every way.
Mm-hmm.
Not in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
In every way. Now what's the lesson here? Let's go to the document. Page 2. I knew I wasn't going to get through even half much of this. Maybe we get a committee together one day and y'all will give me about 2.5 hours and I can really go through this stuff. There's somebody laughing again. All right. What influence does the actualization of salvation in eternity exert on the eternal doctrines of grace? We had in the sub heading here on page 2 is a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is mankind spiritually dead or spiritually alive? So we're talking about total depravity. Everybody got to say amen.
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 Doctrinally, the evangelical utility of total human inability must be enthusiastically implored in consideration of the fact that, in a nutshell, every faculty of man's ability is mitigated, a lesson by his sinfully depraved nature. This engenders the entire structure of human mankind, inclusive of his mind, heart, and especially his will, because he is in a state of utter and complete inability to comply with or participate in any part of the righteous proceedings of God's salvation requisites.
Wow.
And all that we have read backs this up. Here it must be tersely conveyed and understood that mankind's problem is far deeper than he simply will not comply. Compliance versus noncompliance is neither a matter that one is spiritually injured, not spiritually sick, but spiritually dead, resulting in a condition which can only be described by the words cannot. So it's not about will not, it's really cannot. Does this mean that he that is man does not have a free will? Answer to that is, of course, he has. Well, what is it? He will freely function in the attenuated state of deteriorated state of depravity of those who are dead in trespasses and sin, according to his design nature. Now in the kingdom gospel, Jesus states that it is the nature of the tree that determines the nature of the fruit. Let's turn to that. We're going to go in the kingdom gospel this morning. Let's see what Jesus was actually saying versus what they say he was saying. Let's go to Matthew to prove something. We're not going here for doctrine. And after we exegete this, we'll see that even if they exegete this right, they wouldn't construe from it the doctrine that they teach. Yeah, a fruit inspector. What is a fruit inspector? I mean, what day and what hour are you talking about? Everybody got to say amen?
Amen.
All right, Brother Deacon, yeah, read the King James first, and that's part of the problem. Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to slam the King James. You can go into the other translations and you get the same inference. Just a few words turned around just mess up the whole thing. Read.
Matthew chapter 7, beginning verse 17, King James Version. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit.
Okay. That's the main problem. That's a terrible place to start.
Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah.
That's like walking into the middle of a conversation.
Yeah.
And some of us have done that. And we hear a sentence, and from that we construe what the conversation is about.
Right, right.
But because we didn't hear the antecedent sentence or the prior sentence,
right,
we're way off of base. As they say in the South, we're a country mile off.
Right,
man.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's back up.
Back up.
One thing my pastor taught me. Thank God for the many years of training I had under him.
Mm-hmm.
Contextualize.
Yeah.
That would keep you out of trouble most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now, there are three aspects of exegeting.
Mm-hmm.
And they are contextual. What else?
Grammatical.
Grammatical. And historical. First of all, historically, we know we're in the kingdom gospel.
Right.
Amen.
But before we even get to the grammar, you can clear up a lot of this by contextualizing.
Yes.
Now, the first word in verse 18 the first verb, I should say, is the verb answer. And here, translation here, of course, we know that we're in the Greek, there are no gerunds. But anyway, that's still a good structure there. So the question is, you cannot jump to the answer without knowing what the question is. That's the problem.
Man.
Jesus was given an answer.
Right.
Can you get the crux of something by just getting the answer and you don't know what the question is? You ever watch Jeopardy? Anybody over here ever watch Jeopardy? In Jeopardy, what do? They give the answer, and then the person has to supply what?
The question. Right.
And what many have done is they jump on the answer here and don't deal with the question. So how are you going to know what's going on, and all you jumped on was the answer, and you didn't know what the question was?
Right.
Man.
Right.
Now you preaching something and teaching something that doesn't make sense, especially in our gospel, because Paul said that within me, that is within my flesh,
so
there is no good thing.
That's right.
Nothing good.
That's right. That's right.
So what you going to judge about Paul by looking at his flesh?
Yeah, that's right, Pastor.
Man.
Let me say this before we go to further. Don't you ever, anyone here, don't you ever, ever, never, never, ever, ever make a statement of saying someone is not saved. How do you know? Well, I'm looking at their actions. On any given day, you can look at your action and see. Same thing. Oh, my God. You know, as Paul never did that. Even as we were just reading a few moments ago, when he was in Timothy, and he was talking about these two ministers that were, they had misnamed, and they were teaching something that was completely false. Most of us would put them in hell, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
I mean, this is what they probably talk. If you preach heresy, you go into hell.
Yeah, they used to do it.
Of course, whatever heresy is. But if you miss the mark of the truth, thank God that doesn't become the basis of whether you're acceptable to God.
Thank God. Thank God.
Or anything else that you might do. Now, if you're speaking about testimony, fine. You can say so-and-so is not testifying the life of salvation. But you cannot take that the next step and say he's not saved. Can't do that. Don't do that. Now, what is the question? Oh, my God, look at that clock. What is the question? Go back to verse 14.
Of the seventh.
So. Mm-hmm.
Matthew 7, verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Wait a minute, what were you reading from?
Matthew 7.
Matthew 7, verse what?
That was 14.
Okay.
Right,
yeah, we have to go back further than that.
Back.
Oh, my God. Yes. It's going to take a little time, but you know what? You can't walk in here.
Mm-hmm.
You can't walk in there dealing with the answer. You don't know what they were talking about. You just cannot do it.
Mm-hmm.
You talking about something clearing up something?
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
See, verse 14 starts with because. You can't stop. Because, that means you're in the middle of something, right?
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
You said because you're in the middle of something.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, we're going to end up on this today.
Mm-hmm.
We may not even get through exegeting, and we'll start here next week. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Start with verse 6. Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
Of chapter 7 of Matthew.
Okay.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you.
Now even there, I got to go back here. I got to do some explaining. Who are dogs?
Gentiles.
Because God didn't what? Have no contract. Historically.
Mm-hmm.
And where we are historically, there is no grace covenant. How can you go back in here and the first thing, you as a Gentile is a dog. How are you going to go back here and get doctrine? Keep reading.
Jesus.
Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you.
Gospel is this?
The kingdom gospel.
Is it enforced?
No.
Was it offered?
Yes, it was offered.
Was it accepted?
No, it was rejected.
It was rejected. It is on hold.
Mm-hmm.
According to Paul, that until the day of the Gentile is passed,
mm-hmm.
we fast forward to now,
mm-hmm.
they're on hold.
Mm-hmm.
They have been set aside
yep.
until this age has passed. And in the future day, as is prophesied,
right,
not now,
mm-hmm.
not in this day,
amen.
In the millennium,
mm-hmm.
they can ask and what?
It shall be given.
It shall be given.
Mm-hmm.
They will seek and what?
They shall find.
They will knock and what?
It will be opened up.
Is that today?
No.
No. I hear prosperity preachers preaching, they jump in there. And you see, when it doesn't happen, now you got to come up with something else.
Mm-hmm.
You got to come up with another reason. You said this will work. How crazy is that? Paul said, I had this affliction. I asked the Lord 3 times.
Yeah, yeah.
And he told me, Paul,
mm-hmm.
My grace is sufficient. Leave that thing alone.
Mm-hmm.
Did Paul knock?
Mm-hmm.
Did Paul ask?
Mm-hmm.
Did Paul seek?
Mm-hmm.
Did he get?
No.
It's not for now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will God answer some of the prayers that we answer? Yes, it happens all the time. But then some others we ask, it doesn't happen, does it?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? This is about a time when all you have to do is ask and it shall be done.
Mm-hmm.
That's not now.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
For everyone, verse 8,
mm-hmm.
For everyone that asketh, receiveth.
Now it makes sense. If you take this thing and you put it into today and now, that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
What does everyone mean?
Everyone.
That's not today. That just drives me up the wall to hear somebody, you know, you're way out of, you know, stay in your contract. Mm-hmm. And not try to operate in someone else's dispensation.
Amen.
This is the dispensation of grace.
Yes, yes, yes.
Not kingdom. There's a prayer out there.
Mm-hmm.
Thy kingdom come.
Right.
That means that the kingdom has not come.
All right. Man. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. We're not in kingdom.
No.
We're in the present evil age of grace.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Man. That's right.
And you don't get to the kingdom before tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
And as bad as things are right now, there's nothing compared to tribulation.
Nothing. Not even close.
So first you got to know where you are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
You could be talking about driving a car back in 1650, could you?
No.
In fact, if you use the word automobile, nobody would even know what you're talking about.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, if it was possible, nobody knew.
Right.
I'm using a very crude analogy here.
Right.
I mean, when you say you can't be talking about things in grace as though they're in kingdom, and things in kingdom as though they're in grace. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why the churches are so messed up this morning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bad doctrine.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Just bad. It's bad. Awful. Read. I see we're not going to get through. Give me 5 minutes.
And he
we'll
that
start here next week.
And he that seeketh,
mm-hmm.
findeth.
Mm-hmm.
And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened.
Mm-hmm. Now you see, this is awful. Read that, just that verse 8.
Of the seventh chapter.
Of the seventh chapter in the Greek.
All right. Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, Greek interlineal text. For everyone asking.
Everyone asking.
Receives.
At that time.
Mm-hmm, receives.
Receives.
It's present tense.
At that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where did that who comes from?
Mm,
That one word has messed up so much of the doctrine of teaching.
Yes, yes, Jesus.
Because you won't get it unless you ask for it.
God's
got something for you, but he's not going to give it to you unless you ask him for it. I've got something for my kids or grandkids, as it would be now, and I'm not going to give it to them unless they ask me for it.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? I got it, I'm going to keep it in my pocket, and if you don't ask me for it, you won't get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've been taught.
Yeah.
Yeah. That word is huge. Who, if we were right now, had the screen set up and we were into the Bible Works program,
right.
And you put the curse on who,
there
would be nothing that would show up there
yes.
in the other pane because there's nothing there to underline it.
Right, right.
Everyone asking, go ahead.
For everyone asking receives.
Uh-huh.
And the seeking finds.
Everyone seeking
finds.
Uh-huh.
And to the knocking, it
uh-huh.
shall be opened.
It shall be open. Future, in that day, in that time, then, not now.
Right.
Amen.
All right, verse 9. I'm going to jump just a little over this morning. Y'all hang with me here now. You need, there's something out there waiting on you. You need some of this.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Or what is there of you, man?
No, go back to the King James
King
now.
King James, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 9, King James, Matthew chapter 7, verse 9, King James. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone?
Mm-hmm.
Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent?
Now, see, if you take this passage, you put it into today's economy, that won't make no sense at all, would it? I mean, you say, yeah, that's right, that's right. I wouldn't give my son something bad. So now, when you're praying and you ask for something, and the opposite is manifest.
Yeah, yeah.
There are people that would ask the Lord, they were getting ready to lay off, Lord, preserve my job. I'm claiming my job right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm touching and agreeing that I got my job.
Mm-hmm.
Next day you get to there, there's a pink slip waiting on you. And now you're reading this, and you're taking this for doctrine, and you are thoroughly confused now.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
I wasn't talking to you.
That's right.
You're not talking about these times.
Mm-mm.
There's some hard things out here that some of us have experienced, are experiencing, and you're going to experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you read this and you get confused. You say, something must be wrong with me.
Right.
I asked for bread and God gave me a stone.
Right.
stay in your gospel.
Amen.
That's one thing pastors always say, stay in your gospel.
Amen.
Don't read other folk made.
Yeah.
I say, read it, but know what you're reading.
Right.
No, that is not talking to you. All right, give me 3 minutes here. Read.
Verse 10 of Matthew 7. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent?
Mm-hmm.
If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?
Which is confusing. Which is confusing. This is so confusing.
It is.
But it's confusing because you are trying to transport it over into this present evil age.
Present evil age, right.
There's a big difference between the present evil age and the millennium.
Right.
You know, in the millennium, the lion and the cub were laid down side by side and they would play together.
That's right.
And you know what happens now if a lion happens up on a cub, it's
over.
A lion happens up on a lamb, yes, the lamb chops.
Amen. That's right.
Not medium rare or done, but medium. They're not talking about now. Read that.
Verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you,
mm-hmm.
do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets.
So you know it's you that he's not talking about.
Amen.
Verse 13.
Enter ye in at the straight gate.
Mm-hmm.
For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction.
And some people around naming their church. Well, okay, I won't finish.
Everybody hear you.
What is Jesus talking about when he says straight gate? I don't have time. We out of time. We'll start here next week. But let's stay in your gospel. Because it's confusion to God's people.
Amen.
And this is why we're so frustrated.
Amen.
This is why we're so bewildered.
Yes, yes, Lord. Yes.
Because the way they're telling us it is not.
Amen.
But notice, we're totally depraved.
Hallelujah.
We're totally depraved.
Totally. Hallelujah.
We're totally, totally, totally depraved.
Yes, yes, yes.
Don't you ever think that any day of the week you're not depraved.
Amen.
That any moment of the hour you're not depraved.
Yes, Lord.
To think that there's anything good within you. Mm. How dare you condemn someone else? Mm. The same thing that's in your brother is in you.
Hallelujah.
It's in me. How dare we? No, you absolutely cannot be a judge nor a fruit inspector. Because the only fruit that you get out of the out of depravity is depravity.
That's it.
What we should be doing is going in our gospel and look at the operating of God. The operation of God. God operating. Operating within us the will and the do of His good pleasure. And I think of the song that the old people used to sing. Search for the Lord. Not my brother. Not my father. Not my sister. Or my brother. But it's me, O Lord. I'm standing in need. Huh?
Hallelujah.
And search me. Everybody say, search me.
Search me, Lord.
Not my brother. Search me.
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
And when you find things, not if,
right.
Yeah. As you find things,
amen,
that shouldn't be,
should be,
leave them in.
Yeah.
Cloak them.
Nope. Take them out.
Make excuses for them.
Take them out.
Justify.
Take them out.
Take them out. The only one who can take them out is God.
Yes,
the only one who can operate within us, God.
Mm-hmm.
The only one, amen, who can cause, amen, the essence of the faith that produces what?
Mm-hmm.
Good words. And love that can produce what? Good labor.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And hope that can produce what? Good endurance. And patience. When you find things that shouldn't be, take them out. Why? We go to the end of that verse as I go to my seat. That speaks to the end that those naming the name of God depart from iniquity. Because I want to be right. I want to walk according to that image of the Son of God. I want to mirror the thing. I want to mirror those good things that you work about. And I want to mirror the new man. The one that you chose, elected, some position, and placed in the body of Christ in eternity. The one of whom Paul speaks and says, your body is not your own. You are bought with a price, the precious blood of, oh my God, the precious blood of Jesus. That's who I am. Oh, don't look at me now. Because all you're going to see is the old man. But it's the new man. But each day, Lord, search me and teach me. Because I do not want to operate. I do not want to manifest that which I am encapsulated in the flesh. But I want to mirror that which you chose and elected and placed in the body of Christ. Next week we shall move into that. We shall finish exegeting that. Amen. I mean, you when I was a small child going to the movies, they had what they call chapter pictures. Y'all remember that? They call them chapter pictures. They would have the hero about to be killed, and they'd cut it off and say, come back next week. They started doing that on the networks. You know, remember Who Shot JR? They cut it off one season and started up the next, remember? And most of us was there to see Who Shot JR. But come back the next week, and we'll clear up and finish verse 7 of Matthew. God bless you.